17, Chiefs 7, midway through the third quarter. Snap to the face mask of Mahomes. Furious rush. Mahomes throws it. Ladies, got Justin Watson. Catch in the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City burning J.C. Jackson. Justin Watson gets free, and Mahomes finds him for a 41-yard touchdown pass. Backfield is an H-back. They're going to fake a handoff. Now they're going to go on a pass inside and dragging into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City! And the Chiefs get the touchdown with a little bit of a formation trickery. And the 50th time that Travis Kelce has caught a touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes.
You can hear all that action this Friday. Mitch, Dana, and they'll have their voices back ready for you. Week one of the NFL season here on 96.5 The Fan. We get to see the official start of Josh Simmons. I didn't know he had the Brahma Bull piercing. Did you know that?
I didn't. No.
I was watching the franchise. You know, they do what? YouTube, which is what the game will be on unless you're local.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously watch it on your local television provider of the Chiefs.
And it's free on YouTube, too. So if you're listening to us from outside the area, you can watch it free on YouTube.
But they were showing like the week of they really expedite through preseason on the franchise.
It's not interesting. Everybody's
right. They get it. Yeah. And they bring up like Brian Cook's a fun one on the first episode. They talk a lot about him and his stuff. Trent McDuffie's on there a lot. Good. And then they have Josh Simmons. He's like, man, I feel like I'm going to throw up. This is my first game in the NFL. And they're like, dude, you're going to be all right. You'll be just fine. But, yeah, he's got that, like, I think he's got that piercing right between the
nose. Yeah, the nose, yeah. Could you imagine, though, your first game in the NFL? That's got to be just crazy to think about, right? Like, you played college and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, it's like real men. And you're out there, and the bullets are flying, and you're, like, dodging everybody. And, like, man. And, hey, here's the thing. You don't have time to learn, bro. Like, you got to come in and be the greatest left tackle we ever did see. No rush. Just go out there and do that today and then be better tomorrow.
Yep.
And that's,
please.
You know, what is it? The future is now.
I mean, it is. I mean, with this guy right now, that's all people are talking about. Like, we expect him to go from, you know, not playing last year for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. But from a collegiate level to the pros and just dominate, right? In baseball, we'll see you in 6 years. Go do your thing, and then we'll call you up to the big league level once we exhaust all this time in the minor leagues. Basketball, you do come in, but you still have the D-League, all that kind of. Football is the only sport where you are expected to come in right away and be a star as a first-round draft pick. And so we'll see ultimately, you know, what happens with him. But I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be great. But, man, the expectation level for this kid may be higher than any first-round draft pick in the NFL this year, right? I mean, you could say Travis Henry, but that's Jacksonville, Hunter, yep. Right? Or Travis Henry, that's Jacksonville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cam Ward has no expectation whatsoever. Abdul Carter's a defensive player. You start just kind of going through the list, like, who has more pressure on them to go out there, and who will more people be scrutinizing? It's Josh Simmons, especially in a standalone game. Remember, 2 years ago, we had a standalone game, and Juwan Taylor started early, and the whole season we talked about that. So I think Josh Simmons has a lot to gain in this game in Brazil. If he goes out there and plays great, people will give him the blessing, and he will be fantastic the rest of the way. He goes out there and struggles. Everybody's paying attention to it.
I do enjoy that take, but I think the most scrutinized player of the NFL season will be Travis Hunter.
You do?
100%. The minute he gets cooked on defense, the minute he drops a pass, it'll lead every single shift.
I feel like it's been quiet around him, though, all season. I know. It's just been kind of quiet around Travis Hunter.
It has a little bit. But I think he's right. I mean, they have a lot of primetime games because of that reason. I think they're going to really try and sell him. And people, it's going to be like the Shedeur Sanders thing, right? Yep. They're going to be vultures, man. They're ready for him to get burned.
But if he doesn't play well and Jacksonville does their thing, it's still Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
If Simmons doesn't play well and the Chiefs start losing or something, or Mahomes gets hurt, or you know the whole thing, the narrative, this is the world's team we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's Jacksonville. You know, it just carries different weight because of where each team is and the expectation and what's at stake. And everybody's been paying attention to this left tackle spot in Kansas City for the last couple of years now. So I think it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait to watch this kid play.
Yeah, if they ain't talking about it, that means he's doing a damn good
job.
Yeah. Yeah, we should talk about him later in the week, about how we objectively measure him and how we're going
answer.
To judge him. Yeah, so we should talk about that later in the week, because I think that's an interesting
conversation. We're 3 days away, Mac. What's your sandwich? question number or 3 days out.
3 days out. Top three impact players that you're watching, not named for this Sunday or this Friday, not named Mahomes or Chris Jones.
Well, I think it starts with that number one guy we were just talking about. It's Josh Simmons. I think that's everybody's kind of focal point going into this game. You're excited for football to be here, but deep down inside, we're all intrigued and interested and excited to watch Josh Simmons in a real football game to see what he can do. So he comes in number one at my list. Number two is George Karloftis. Dude got paid this offseason, right?
Yes.
Yeah, why are you guys laughing at that?
It's just my exact order.
Oh, okay. But no, Karloftis has to come in at number two for me because that's the dude that got paid. And number three on that list, another dude that got paid, you know, Trey Smith along the offensive line. Yep. Now, hey, there's no more excuses for this offensive line. The left tackle's been quote-unquote solved. We got a left guard in there that seemingly has gotten better as each preseason has gone along. Center and right guard have been paid. Jawan Taylor is a really good, maybe to a fault for me, right tackle in the NFL. You got a backup in Jalen Moore. Like, it is now officially put up or shut up time for that entire offensive line.
No doubt. Mac?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Simmons for the reason. I almost, when I was making this question, said top three impact players you're watching, not named Mahomes, Chris Jones, or Josh Simmons, because I knew that's going to be the guy, man. He is the most talked about Chiefs player.
And let's hope it's just this week. Like, let's hope we come in on Monday, we go, man, he was really good, and then we move on, and Josh Simmons isn't a topic anymore.
If he makes it through the first 2 weeks like that, then I'm in. Because if it's the Chargers, you know, front four with Khalil Mack, and then he goes to the Eagles, and we don't really hear a peep about 71, oh, baby, come on.
I know that I'm hard.
We're watching 71 put Jalen Carter into the ground. And it's like, could you imagine that this is the Super Bowl last year? Like,
Don't say that. Don't say that because you don't know what would happen.
Please.
You just don't.
Travis Kelce, because I think we're going to know kind of what we have in Travis Kelce these first couple of plays. I mentioned that preseason game three, the biggest observation I made other than Josh Simmons is a brick wall is that fake right, go left move for Travis Kelce's back. That didn't work at all last season, and he juked out a 25-year-old safety in Jaquan Brisker for the Bears using that. So if he is, you know, 70% of what he was a few years ago, this team is going to be scary, even without Rashee Rice. And then Trent McDuffie, I'm just curious to see how much he lines up in the slot. That's his primary position. He's an all-pro guy. And they're facing one of the better slot receivers in the NFL in Ladd McConkey. So I'd love to see him lock him down. Let's go 22.
Have the Chiefs brought McCall Hardman back yet? Do we know?
Not yet.
Not yet. No injuries yet. Okay. Knock on wood.
Right? Yeah.
Simmons, no need to go over that again. You guys have hit that. I'm pretty much on every angle that I think possibly could be there. I will say if I could add something, it would be I hope that on Saturday morning, when we're sitting there waiting for college football to start and NFL's doing some sort of show before their thing starts, we get to have a highlight where they put that little highlighted circle around his feet and just show him shielding off.
Yes.
And describing everything that I've been telling you, everybody, about the preseason, that Mahomes doesn't have to look over his left shoulder, that he's just moving up and he's got the verification that he's got a blanket over there on the left-hand side. The one I will also say, Karloftis, Bob mentioned that one. I'm the same way. It's time to be that guy. And I know that he's been pretty good.
He's been damn good.
Worthy of a contract, right? They gave him the money. They want him to be here. Now let's see if the Chiefs were the smarter one in the situation where we're going to pay him now because we think that 7.5 is going to jump to 12 or 13. And if he's that guy that Matt McMullen said was going to have 14 sacks this year for the Kansas City Chiefs, holy smokes, that's going to open the door for your guy, Chris Jones, to get over that 775 and that sack number, because then what do you do? Huh? What are you going to do at that point?
Exactly.
You going to double 95 and let Karloftis just go free on the outside? Or are you going to try to double, and then are we going to see some stunts going on with 95 and 56? And then you really have a good combination there that also opens up the middle for Bolton and Tranquil and Leo Chenal. And then, like you'd mentioned, McDuffie in the slot. If he's in the slot and they're moving with Karloftis and they stunt each other, him and Jones, and McDuffie makes that move that Spags loves to do where there's a blitz, Justin Herbert going to have a long night in Sao Paulo.
Yes, he is.
The other one I will say is Xavier Worthy. And I've been on Xavier Worthy this entire preseason, not in a bad way. This is a year for you, man. The number one receiver on the roster is going to be out. You're no stranger to this, right? And you can really excel your game. This is year two in the NFL for Xavier Worthy. We know the God-given speed is there. We know the talent is there. Now is the awareness and the trust and the know-it-all with Patrick Mahomes' Andy Reid offense. Can you level up on your gameplay? Can you be more than just a quote-unquote speed guy? Because remember when Jalen Ramsey was running his lips saying that Tyreek Hill was a return specialist, and now there's people saying that Xavier Worthy is only good because he's so fast?
Well, what is that? I mean, why is that a negative, though? I know. Who's saying that? Because that person's dumb.
Because now you can add speed to intelligence and intelligence to route running, and when he's got two steps on you and Mahomes has a left tackle that gives him protection and he doesn't have to miss that sort of option, boy, it could be a long year for guys trying to cover number one out there on the offensive side, because if he's got that and everything else trickles down, we all know what it is. The defense, just give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes as fast as you possibly can. Offensive line, protect for 15. Everything revolves around 15, and if these targets out here, and maybe we're not talking enough about Hollywood Brown or Travis Kelce or Juju Smith-Schuster, who could be big in this game Friday night as well with what he can provide.
I think Juju Smith-Schuster will be bigger than Hollywood Brown.
Maybe we can do that later on this week where we do the guys.
The stuff about him was concerning the other day from Andy Reid. You know, like, if this is a young guy, I'm concerned, but this is Hollywood Brown, so I'm not that concerned. He should be okay. Like, they're still dealing with injuries for this guy. I don't know, man. I feel like this is going to be a narrative that we follow all season long.
Hopefully not would be the prevailed side of that. But we are now still in the start of the NFL season. We are back. It is ready to go. And so is Josh Briscoe, who joins us now. You can hear him pre and post games here on 96.5, diving things all down from this Kansas City Chiefs game on Friday night. Going to be a late one for him, but I know that he's going to have his cereal and his energy drinks ready to go if he hasn't already started. Briscoe, let's get into this game real quickly. Friday night in Sao Paulo, Justin Herbert, no left tackle. Patrick Mahomes, new left tackle. Kind of a different world here in this sport, but again, Chiefs gear up. What do you like most about this game against the Chargers?
I mean, I love that it counts, first of all. You say it's going to be a late night, and it is, but there's no late night like a 9 p.m. Week 2 preseason Seattle start.
Oh, man, that's a good one, yep.
You know, that, and that, look, that was early on in my Chiefs radio network, getting my feet set and everything. I needed to take a couple of lumps, and we survived. We did a good show, and we moved on to Week 3. Now, truly, getting to this point, I kind of like how you frame that, Dusty. There's no left tackle versus new left tackle, and I'd rather have the new guy. I want to, like, spin off of 1,000 things you guys just talking about at the wide receiver position alone, because I think you're right. Like, this room, maybe sneakily now without Rashee Rice officially, it's a thin group. You do need Hollywood Brown to be out there. You do need Juju to be at the best he can give you at this point. So we are just going to see so many things. This, I guess, is the big picture answer to your short question, gives you a minute long answer from me. We really are back. We're going to see on Friday night some of the projection and some of the theoretical stuff actually become real. We're going to find out what year two of Xavier Worthy looks like. We're going to find out what a full game of Josh Simmons, when the game counts and the lights are really, really bright down there in Sao Paulo. We're going to see what he actually looks like there. We're going to find out what Kingsley Suamataia looks for four full quarters at left guard. I am so excited for a meaningful game that counts. It won't determine who wins the Super Bowl, but it's going to get us started in a really good way.
Well, and it's also going to set the narrative for the season, too. I mean, if the Chiefs go out there and just destroy the Chargers, what are all the you know, guys like Carrington going to say and apologize for the Chargers? I mean, how are they going to write that script if the Chiefs go out there and just absolutely punish them on national TV?
I'll say that saving the Chargers will be easy. It'll just require some crow eating, I think, nationally, if the Chiefs do come out looking like gangbusters. For the Chargers, you go, well, look, I mean, it's the best team in the AFC. It's been an ongoing dynasty. They've been the best team in the AFC since Patrick Mahomes showed up. The Chargers just need to be as good as the next team behind the Chiefs. Of course, if the Chiefs lose, it will be the end of the dynasty that actually ended in the Super Bowl. Can you believe that? I don't remember what the Chiefs did in the regular season or the rest of the playoffs, but I remember the Super Bowl. You know, that's kind of been the thing that's cursed this entire offseason. Another thing that makes me excited for this game to actually happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like too invested in week one, the second game of the NFL season and all that. But man, it would do a lot for all of our souls right now, I think, if the Chiefs came out and put up 35 points, the defense looks solid, and you just move into week two feeling like you're back at the top of the mountain.
Well, and that, I think we all kind of need that, because it's all been bent up frustration since the Super Bowl and everybody nationally telling us that this team can't do it, the dynasty's over, blah blah blah, this and that about Patrick Mahomes. The other thing, like, I feel like we're all waiting for Friday like it is going to be Christmas morning, and we can't wait to see them unload. And that's not just us, that's them inside the building too. I think they're ready to go out there and send a message in week one.
They just have to be. I mean, and that doesn't, again, that doesn't guarantee you anything. North Carolina insisted on bringing a message to the football field last night, and that message was this isn't working, or at least it's not off to a good start. So, I mean, they want it, and lots of teams want to make a statement. But to your point, I think the Chiefs are in a position to where they're lined up to make the statement. Not having Rashee Rice is obviously a huge bummer. I think he's the focal point of this offense the minute he comes back, or, you know, give him a week or two to get back fully up to speed. But, I mean, we saw what he was going to be last year. We know what he's going to be this year. He's just got to eventually get and stay on the field. I really do think it's fascinating to just look at the depth chart and go, okay, well, you do want to see Patrick Mahomes go into fire-breathing dragon mode and just re-alert everyone that he is still Patrick Mahomes, and that if you have a memory more than one game long, you don't need that reminder. But lots of people don't, so we need that reminder. Okay, fine. The pass catchers now are year two Xavier Worthy, who I feel pretty strongly about in a positive way. And then it's obviously Travis Kelce, but we want to see him get a little bit less of a workload put on his shoulders throughout this season, just to make his life a little easier, maybe make his ceiling a little bit higher. Then you get back to those receivers and you go, okay, well, we really are going to see them counting on Hollywood Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. And that is not a completely revitalized pass-catching room. Those are incredible answers for, hey, who are your third, fourth, fifth pass-catchers? Oh, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton. Fantastic. When all those guys get bumped up a line with Rice being out, I do think there's going to be room for there to be a couple offensive hiccups in the passing game. But then I really think that a Worthy, Kelce, and I really hope Hollywood-focused passing game, it ends up busting open some of those fireworks that have just been under wraps for what feels like a very long time for this offense now.
Yeah, Briscoe's who we're talking to, Josh Briscoe, does pre- and post-game here on 96.5 The Fan for the Chiefs. You can hear him Friday here as your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh, I want to ask you this, because last year I was humbled a little bit after that Super Bowl, which was a complete ass-kicking from the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe I didn't look enough into their defensive line. I just kind of maybe had too many Chiefs red glasses on, or rose-colored Chiefs glasses. This game carries Ladd McConkey and Omarion Hampton. Obviously, Omarion Hampton is a rookie out of North Carolina. We haven't really seen him yet. What do we need to look at on the Chargers side of the football, not just Kansas City side of the football, offensively and defensively?
I mean, the thing that you mentioned at the top is like the guy who won't be out there. The fact that Justin Herbert now, it felt like he was finally in, and maybe, I don't know where you guys exactly land on Justin Herbert. I know a lot of people have less generous views of him. I think he's a fascinating quarterback. But now the fact that he's going out there with one tackle who has proven it before, and then one who just suffered the same injury that Josh Simmons, I don't know if it's exact same, but the patellar for Rashawn Slater that you know, is what Josh Simmons just came back from. The Chiefs have a chance, and their pass rush last year, remember the front four in particular, the Chiefs' pass rush was a little bit of a problem, especially early on last season, just could not get pressure with four without blitzing. Well, now you have a chance to try to pick on Trey Pipkins, I guess, and try to create a little bit of extra pressure to speed Herbert up there. You mentioned Ladd McConkey and Omarion Hampton. I know I'm repeating just the names you've said so far here, Dusty, because after that, you start getting pretty thin. You get the reunion of Keenan Allen. I'm not terribly moved by Trey Harris. Ladd McConkey is incredible, and I'd like to see Trent McDuffie lined up across from him every time he can be on Friday night. I think that's going to be an amazing matchup between those two. Najee Harris sounds like he's going to be good to go, to give him a little 1-2 punch.
He's still at the running wearing back position. Sunglasses, though. I mean,
Bob, I'm just telling you what the team said. You think an NFL team would lie about an injury status?
Oh, God, no, Josh. Why wouldn't they? But you said that. I'm thinking to myself, like, the dude is still wearing sunglasses, for God's sakes. Like, how much can we expect? You're naming all these names, too, and I'm thinking to myself, why are people high on the Chargers again? Is it because of Herbert and Harbaugh and Ladd McConkey? Because if that's what they're judging it on, man, God, do some homework, dig deeper, and realize this is not the Chargers' weaponry that was here even 2 years ago.
Right, and that's the thing where, like, as soon as you say the words Quentin Johnston, the segment should end, right? It's like, well, that's not, he doesn't have functional hands at this point in his career. He hasn't had them since he got to the league. So, again, I don't know if really Adam got consistently in college, to be
that
fair.
That guy stinks.
That can't be a serious argument. You make one play over, you know, Josh Williams' head, I guess. I don't know. Keep an eye out for it. We can cut this for next week. But their defense, I think, is going to be pretty good. It's not going to be the Broncos or a unit where you can just build the entire team around. Mm-hmm. And I do think, to answer your question, I think Herbert and Harbaugh have earned a ton of clout in terms of national analysis. And I understand why. Harbaugh is about as successful as of a winner as modern head coaches other than Andy Reid are allowed to be. Mm-hmm. He really has turned programs around when he's gotten there. I buy that. I said last year I thought that, you know, that I was ready to buy my Charger stock on Herbert and Harbaugh, but I wouldn't probably be cashing any of that in until next year. The Rashawn Slater thing is such a huge deal where I really do think it takes away a little bit of that possibility that Herbert just completely elevates the guys around him with extra time in the pocket. So I think this is going to be a good team throughout the season. Frankly, I think everybody in the AFC West is going to be good enough to cause some problems. I think the Chiefs and then probably the Broncos secondarily are the only ones that are going to be making those serious playoff pushes, unless Herbert just absolutely takes the limiter off this year, which I do think there's a possibility of. I think the roster still needs one more round of iterations.
I mean, we saw Patrick Mahomes with questionable left tackles, and it was not the best. Like,
no.
And so Justin Herbert with a questionable left tackle has to be a lot worse than what we saw with Mahomes.
Yeah, I think it's going to take him a little bit of time. He really is, and again, maybe people are sick of hearing about how great Justin Herbert is and then watching him lose in the playoffs. I get it, but I also do believe that, like, his version of quarterbacking, his arm talent, what appears to be his processing ability, his physical traits, I didn't like him out of college at all and then fell in love with his pro game. Like, I really do think he's legitimate. I just don't know if this is the year for the Chargers to make a serious argument that they're a team to be worried about long term. But again, I think every team in the AFC West could beat the Chiefs once. That's just going to be how the AFC West is built this year. Mm-hmm. There are no dogs here. You have the reigning AFC champions and three teams who are all, I think, better than they were last year. And frankly, the Chargers might be the team who improved the least, especially if you take Slater out of the picture. The Broncos are better. The Raiders are a lot better. The whole division is really fascinating.
Last one here for you, Briscoe. Tyquan Thornton, was that just preseason, or are we going to see a little bit of that with Rashee Rice being out with that deep threat?
How dare you even ask? I am thrilled for the Tyquan Thornton experience. Look, I'll couch it this way. Mm-hmm. Tyquan Thornton does not need to be Rashee Rice. He doesn't need to be Xavier Worthy. He doesn't need to be Hollywood Brown. He doesn't need to be a bunch of those guys. He, frankly, doesn't even need to be the best version of Marquez Valdez-Scantling that we saw. Can he do Justin Watson things, and can he do some of the MVS stuff?
Watson, where you say, hey, yes!
Thank you. We have a big outside X receiver type who can stretch the field vertically, take the top off a defense, or at least make the defense believe that that guy's going to be there. Other than Worthy and Brown, who obviously can do some more things, and you hope at a higher level than Thornton, and Brown's been, I mean, I would say in and out, but he hasn't even been in yet this season. You have somebody else with that kind of top-end speed that can fulfill that responsibility. Again, kind of like MVS, kind of like Justin Watson. And that allows you to do more
Watson,
creative
yes!
things, first read things for Worthy in Hollywood. If Thornton plays a relatively small percentage of the snaps, I think Watson ended up with a ton last year because of all of the injuries. But if Thornton's wide receiver five,
Watson,
wide receiver four,
yes!
who's out there forcing the defense to respect him a little bit downfield, I think that is a very, very, very good thing.
Because I got a really damn good feeling that I'm going to have a bet in my parlay on Friday night, because I feel like Thornton's over-under yards is going to be like 14.5, and it's going to be just one play down the field for like
14 total yards for Thornton.
No, don't do that to me.
You're gonna be playing that like over however many yards, over half a reception for Thornton every week. Just parlay
week.
Those and take it to the bank. I mean, don't take it to the bank. Sometimes you're going to take it to the cleaners. But I feel like that's still a wise move.
That is Josh Briscoe, the Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame host here on 96.5 The Fan. Get ready for Friday, baby, because I'm there. I mean, duct tape, glue, whatever I got to use, I'm there on a Tuesday.
I know
morning.
That I'm hard.
No doubt.
Well, I'll talk to you guys again next week.
Okay, Briscoe, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you every Tuesday. Same time. Take care, brother. We appreciate the time.
See ya.